So we have here with us Britt Balbinot, voice of the Toledo Rockets. Thank you for spending time with us tonight.
My pleasure, guys.
Awesome, awesome. So to start off, maybe you can help us with some of our, you know, casual BYU fans that don't know a lot about Toledo. What's some of the history with Toledo, and how are they doing so far this year?
Toledo, out of the Mid-American Conference, which in my opinion is a very underrated group of five conference, especially the top half of that conference. You take a look at what Western Michigan's done in the last 3 or 4 years. You take a look at what Ohio has done. Certainly Toledo this year. You could probably throw Eastern Michigan in with a win on the road at Illinois. Northern Illinois has been down a little bit the last couple of seasons, but traditionally a powerhouse. So there's quality ball played in the MAC. Toledo was the preseason pick this year to win the Western Division, which would mean, of course, playing for a conference championship at Ford Field in Detroit in that first weekend in December. So right now, while we haven't hit conference play yet, kind of an interesting side note to Toledo's schedule this year is they had their bye week after the season opener. So we went down to Kentucky to open things up, and then they got 2 weeks off, and now it's going to be 11 straight for Toledo. They're not going to have any downtime. So they've won two in a row since a tough loss at Kentucky. They shut out Murray State, first time defensively that they pitched a shutout in the program in 19 years. And then they went on the road, and really a tale of two halves last weekend at Colorado State up in Fort Collins. It was 14-13. Toledo led at the intermission, and then they held on to win 41-35. So we'll wait and see. I think somewhere in between, especially defensively, is where this team's going to be this year. But knowing the high-octane offense that BYU is going to bring to town, we could be looking at a shootout this weekend.
Right on, right on. I did get a chance to watch a little bit of that Colorado State game. Well, first of all, the Colorado State uniforms were horrendous. It was the weirdest uniforms.
But no two, comment.
Right? But two, one person that seemed to stick out was Bryant Kobach, your running back. He seems like a formidable threat, and just seemed like he had it all. He was a little shifty, had enough power. If he needed to get through somebody, he could. Is he kind of your go-to guy on the backfield?
They have a rotation between him and a young guy by the name of Shaquif Seymour. They kind of provide a pretty good 1-2 punch. Seymour might be a little bit more of the power back if you need short yardage. But Bryant is very much a multi-purpose back, and he's a very humble kid. He went to Kentucky, ironically, for a season, and then just realized it wasn't for him. He's a local product. He prepped in the Toledo area and decided to come back. So after sitting out a year, he was a quick study of the playbook. And you're right, when he gets into open field, when he reaches that second level, look out. He had basically a career night. It was the ninth best single game performance by a running back in Toledo history. And that's telling you something. 19 carries, 228 yards. He didn't have a carry for a loss, three touchdowns, and he averaged 12 yards a haul. Okay. Every time he touched the football, on average, the chains moved. It didn't matter what down or the distance was. He had touchdown runs of 37, 47, and then a career high of 75. And what wow. I think really people don't realize about Bryant, too, because they take a look at him and they see him in the open field, but very rarely do running backs, do players, period, get to that fourth or fifth gear on the field. You've got to be moving laterally. You've got to have great footwork. And you're not always going to be going out at a dead sprint or a full sprint. So what he does, they call it run to daylight here. You've got to trust that the hole's there. But if it's not, then you've got to find out where is the next biggest crack for me to go ahead and break. And if he turns the edge, which I think, Chase, is what you were saying you saw in that Colorado State game, look, when he reaches that second level, no linebacker is going to chase him down. It's going to be one-on-one. It's going to be him versus a safety. And they like his odds in that one-on-one matchup if you're a Toledo coach.
Right on. Right on.
So looking at the stats kind of from last week's – oh, go ahead, Chase.
Sorry, I was kind of staying on that same line as far as running. I know BYU for the first four games has basically gone with a three front. Basically saying, all right, Pac-12 or SEC teams. we're going to dare you to run it on us. Do you expect to see the BYU front change? And if they don't, what would you kind of expect on the Toledo side?
Well, that'd be a question I could ask you guys. I know I'm looking at my depth charts right now. As a matter of fact, I just filled them out last night, and I'm doing some adjustments as far as some of the statistics are concerned. Look, when you go that route, and I know you've got, I believe it's Trajan, is it Peely? Is that his last name? Is kind of a hybrid on that one side. My guess is he will have to come downhill. I'm not saying he'll necessarily have to play with his hand on the ground, but he'll have to come downhill probably a little more than some of the earlier opponents that BYU has faced. And that's just, you know, it's a matchup. It's your scout. Some teams might go aerial more. Some teams might have guys that are more ground and pound. Toledo wants to be balanced. There's no question about that. But you're going to need somebody to set the edge, because it's not just Bryant Kobach, but the quarterback, Mitch Guadagni, is definitely very much a playmaker with his feet. They've worked with him endlessly in the past year to year and a half, because he's not the biggest kid. I'm not saying he's slight, but at 6'2", 210 pounds, he's a gazelle. And, you know, 1,001, 1,002, boom. If nobody's open the progression, look for him to look for his own spot and take off. He suffered a concussion in that season opener at Kentucky and had to miss the second half. They have really stressed with him, slide, get down. And if it's not there, they would rather have him throw the ball away than needlessly subject his body to extra punishment and hits for a 1 or 2 yard gain. But I will say this, it's not just the running backs. Toledo has a dual threat at quarterback.
Perfect. So looking at the stats, you mentioned that they would prefer to be a little more balanced. It looked like last week they had at least three different guys with at least 12 carries and only 15 pass attempts from the quarterback there. They would prefer that to be a little more balanced, or do you expect something more like that this weekend?
Well, Coach made the comment in his coach's show Monday nights. We have it at a local sports bar here, and he said, you know, why didn't you go to the air? That's what Coach Candle is very much an offensive-minded coach. And he didn't miss a beat when he said, because we were running it well. He goes, if the opposition can't stop what we're doing, why do I want to roll the dice and just say, well, let's try this? No, you stay with what's working. So Bryant Kobach had 19 carries. Now, Mitch, as a quarterback, had 12 carries. Some of those are designed, but then probably I'd say at least half of those were him improvising. The read wasn't there, so he took off. He did a good job of protecting himself that night. He got down. He got out of bounds. He didn't take unnecessary hits. And then Shaquiff Seymour, the other running back that I mentioned earlier, had 14 carries for 70 yards. I mean, he averaged 5 yards a carry. It doesn't matter who gets it. If you win first or second down, as you guys are well aware of, that keeps your playbook open. And trust me, Coach Candle is an offensive-minded coach. So whether they run for 5 or throw for 5, it doesn't matter to him. It still counts as 5.
Yeah, and I listened to some of the podcast. He's actually awesome to listen to. I loved his comment at the end. He's like, all these stats and everything, the biggest and most important one at the end is that W. So whatever I've got to do it. So that's good to hear from a coach.
Yep, scoreboard's the only statistic that matters. It doesn't mean that they don't take a look at those, but they look at the game film a little bit more. And look, an ugly win beats a pretty loss any day of the week. You'll take it.
It still makes it easier to wake up the next Sunday morning, right?
You bet.
So here's another question for you. There's a lot of talk on the BYU side as far as this being a potential sleeper, BYU having gone through kind of this gauntlet of Power 5 schools, the rivalry to start off the season, and just having this emotional high for 4 games, then going on the road to Toledo. Do you see that as a potential to take advantage and come away with a W, speaking of W's?
You know, I don't think, again, having listened to him and seen him from a distance, I don't think Ostaki's going to let that happen. They've got too much pride in that locker room. Plus, nobody wants to sit on a loss and come out flat, so to speak. Nobody anticipates that here in Toledo. Trust me, they expect BYU's best shot.
Good. Good. And that's all you could hope for at any game. You want to have everybody's best, and you'd rather, you know, the difference between losing and getting beat, you know, I'd rather be a loss than just straight up getting beat down. But
Sure. Well, nobody expects it to be easy. I think we're going to see two teams beat on each other for four quarters on Saturday.
Yes, I'm hoping for an entertaining one.
Switching to the defensive side of the ball, for BYU fans, is there somebody on Toledo's roster they should be watching out for, or somebody that's the playmaker on their defense?
Without giving away the game plan, I do get a chance to go over and watch practice each week. Two things. Very much so, probably not unlike what BYU is going to need to do against Toledo. Understanding, and again, I know you guys took a hit at the running back spot. I was watching that game's actually live when it happened on Saturday, and just terrible, terrible news for Williams. But they are deep at that position. And when you take a look at also Zach Wilson's mobility, that was one thing that Coach mentioned during his show on Monday night. They're going to need to set the edge. Keep it as much as possible in between the hash marks. Toledo has a defensive end by the name of Jamal Hines, number 91. He's 6'3". He's 255 pounds, a little undersized by D-line standards. You would think, okay, he's a rush end, but the kid is physical. Actually, he's beyond that. He's violent. He doesn't just get in the backfield and contain. He makes plays. Likewise, standing to his right is the nose tackle, Nate Childress. So at 6'3", 295, that's an inglorious position. Usually there, you're just soaking up blockers. You're trying to gum things up and keep your linebackers clean to leverage the football. Childress gets into the backfield as well. Maybe not to the point where you'll pick up a sack, but they love quarterback hurries at Toledo just as much as they love sacks. With the way that the game has evolved in the past 10 years or so, how fast it is, how it stretches from sideline to sideline, if you can take a quarterback off his spot, disrupt the rhythm of a play, that's just as effective. So those two guys on the left side, I would keep an eye on, because if BYU can't keep one or both of them outside that tackle box, it could be a long afternoon for BYU's offense.
Right. We get a chance to see kind of what happens when Utah, for example, put some pressure and made them scramble. If he can contain, as you said, well contained. And then he starts, his internal clock starts misfiring a little bit here and there, just being a little bit of a younger quarterback. He's made some heck of a throw since then, but again, that was only a few games ago where he was making some quick decisions, making some poor decisions and causing some interceptions. But I can definitely see that being a key to Toledo win, and obviously the opposite for BYU.
Well, they'll keep an eye on him. I'm not sure if they'll spy him the entire time. Toledo runs basically two linebackers and a hybrid. They call it the star. Number 20, Saeed Holt, has to make a quick pre-snap read, because there will be times where he'll have to read pass and drop and cover one of the quickest players that BYU's got on offense. And then the very next snap, he may have to read and come downhill and take on one of the biggest players on the field in run support. So he's going to be crucial, not only to make a good pre-snap read, but also not get deked or juked. There's no surprise. I mean, you take a look at how BYU likes to spread the wealth. I mean, the last two games have been a perfect example of that. What was it, 11 guys with a catch at 2 weeks ago, and then just this last week, eight and 11. So Toledo is well aware that if you don't get to Wilson, you've got to make sure that you have decent coverage. So I don't think you're going to see too much handing off. Depending on what they run, whether it's zone, whether it's a hard cover, or maybe dropping back in a shell. But you're going to have to see a lot of individual one-on-one solid matchups for Toledo throughout the course of four quarters. Otherwise, BYU has proven they can pick you apart.
So one last question, Brent. Again, we appreciate you so much being able to take some time and help us get to know Toledo a little bit better and some of our viewers.
Sure.
We've been asking some of the other broadcasters that we've been talking to do predictions, which is always fun, and seeing what you could put together for us on this Toledo-BYU game.
Well, again, I don't think we're going to see quite the shootout that we saw on the Wasatch Front 3 years ago. I mean, let's be honest, neither team could have covered a parked car that night. It was fun to watch from an offensive standpoint, but I'm sure both defensive coordinators had a lot of stomach acid churning after that, watching the film. You know, I'm looking at it. Both teams can score without question. So I don't think that there's going to be a low scoring game, but you know, let's not sugarcoat it. One, maybe two stops will probably determine who wins this game. I think there's going to be probably to say for Baby Bear's porridge for Toledo would probably need to keep BYU in that 28 to 30 point range. And at home, Toledo's got maybe a little bit of the advantage with the 11th man. We expect a rocking atmosphere. We'll wait and see how BYU handles the time difference. I think that's overrated, but I know a lot in the media have kind of drummed that up. But I think Toledo is a better defensive team this time around than the last time these two teams met. So not to offend your listeners, but I would say probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a 34-35 to 27-28 ball game for Toledo. I think it will be under 10 points, but I think Toledo's maybe got just a slightly better defense than they had in the first or the last meeting.
Fair enough. And I was talking about the last time they met, that was Tyson Hill, right?
Or correct. Hill, it was the Williams kid. Right, yep. The Williams kid ran roughshod over him. I think, what was it? He had a career night, 280 plus yards. He scored 5 touchdowns. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yep. I've never seen a player have that kind of a night. To my knowledge, he doesn't have any eligibility left. It's not like he can come back and throw on the pads for one more game. So hopefully that'll be better for Toledo.
No, all his mission years are all turned up and can't use them anymore. So no, I was right. It's between Williams and Hill, and both of them are playing pretty well in the NFL right now. So they're kind of those quiet, underrated guys that snuck into the NFL and have done well.
Yep. Different rosters, different teams. In my opinion, better defense, at least I think probably on both sides, but certainly Toledo. So I don't know that we'll see a 50-plus point game for either of these squads, but I do think it will be entertaining.
Amen to that. And, you know, again, we appreciate you so much. We're going to be Toledo fans after this weekend the rest of the way, and and I hope you guys get the Mac. And we'll see you hopefully in an awesome bowl game.
All right. Sounds good, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Brent from Voice of the Rockets of Toledo. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bye. All right. That wasn't too bad.
Is that good? Work for you?
Yeah. That was awesome. Appreciate you.
Okay. No problem, guys.
Like I said, if you ever find yourself in Utah and this direction, just give us a holler. We'll take you out and show you around.
All right. Are you guys in Provo? Is that right?
So I'm just north of there. I'm actually in just right at the Idaho-Utah border. So I'm just a couple hours from there. So I make it down.
Okay.
Not about an hour and a half from Jackson Hole as well. So Yellowstone.
Okay.
And sure. Andrew.
Yep. I'm the Ute side of the podcast, but I actually live in Phoenix right now going to school. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. That would be a heck of a commute for you. You bet.
Correct.
All right, guys. Yeah, my pleasure. Yep. Anytime you need something, just feel free to holler.
Hey, appreciate it. We'll keep you in our back pocket.
All right. Thanks.
Take care, Brent.
You bet. You too. Bye.
Bye.